Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Continuing rise in the population, and especially in the workforce, means that investors are looking increasingly favourably at Ireland's so-called living sector, which includes private rentals and student accommodation. That's the view of the property advisors Cushman and Wakefield, who also think that the commercial sector may have bottomed out. But will our notorious planning system scare off would-be investors in the market? Tom McCabe is head of research with Cushman & Wakefield and joins us now. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Joe. Lovely to be here.
So what are you hearing about the so-called living sector?
So the living sector, I think it's a sector that's been growing from a small base quite aggressively over the past decade. And we surveyed, I guess, 50 of the largest pan-European living investors for a piece of research, which we've recently published.
Private rental sector, student
private
accommodation.
Private rental sector, student accommodation, affordable housing, even senior living. So we actually, as part of that research, we asked them a number of questions about their views of the Irish living markets and Irish housing markets. Now, I guess one of the clearest messages is that Ireland Inc. is still very important to pan-European investors. They still very much see the demographic profile, the growth profile as being quite attractive, the supply-demand picture across housing markets. So they see it as a positive market to invest in and grow into. Of the sectors that they're most interested in, as you mentioned, the private rental sector is very interesting for them, the student accommodation sector as well, and even affordable housing. But during the research, we also asked what are the obstacles to future investment. And what came out very, very clearly was that rent caps are clearly a bit of a stumbling block. 57% of investors actually saw it as a barrier to future investment in Ireland. So we think that there, in the report, we've suggested a couple of options that should be looked at to try and incentivize greater levels of investment into our living markets and our housing markets, and really to incentivize.
And I presume you're looking at lifting the rent cap, and because we had the ASRI on the show a few weeks back, and they were saying that they give a couple of options when it comes to replacing the rent pressure zones that are enforced at the moment. One of them, of course, was that you switch the price linked to the tenancy rather than the tenant.
Precisely. And actually, we very much are in favour of that measure. And when you think about the from a day-to-day impact that might have on viability for developers. So let's say, take for example, either a large landlord or even a small landlord that has been renting a property that's below market rent. You know, if we shift the rent cap from the property to the tenancy, then over time it allows that landlord to actually get back to a market level of rent, which certainly in terms of an institutional investor supports possible supply and the feasibility of greater supply in the private rental sector and the student sector, which arguably have really lagged in the past few years. I think the other advantage as well about changing the rent caps, the other suggestion we'd have is that we migrate more to a rent cap based around a prevailing inflation rate. And I think that can help supply as well. But the other really...
So if CPI is fairly low over the last few years, it's been around 1%.
Yeah, but I think the way they're structured at the moment, it's the lower of 2% or CPI. I think if it's based more around CPI, as well as being helpful for future potential supply, I think it's also helpful actually in terms of maintaining and improving the quality of the housing stock over time. So when you think about it, even if you're a small landlord, you know, if you're sure that you're going to be able to recoup inflationary costs, you're going to be that bit more likely to actually reinvest in property.
And make it more energy efficient.
Exactly, exactly. And that's really important for our climate commitments even. And in terms of just from a societal perspective, improving the overall quality of our housing stock.
Are government rules for investors in the private rental sector still too onerous?
We would feel they are. So we did a separate piece of research last year where we tried to actually codify just precisely how strict they were. So we surveyed a dozen of our research teams around Europe, and we found that Ireland actually stacked up to be the second most heavily regulated rental market in Europe. So regulation is high. I think the added difficulty for us is that we've gone from a largely deregulated rental market a decade ago to a very heavily regulated one. And actually, the rules have changed probably two or three times over the course of that decade. So that has led to a situation where, understandably, probably investors and large-scale institutional investors are sitting there thinking, well, what's next? How are these rules going to change again? So,
and they include the so-called vulture funds?
Well, yeah, and it's probably a term that you know, I don't think is really
stuck,
helpful.
Unfortunately.
It has stuck, unfortunately, yes. I mean, a lot of when we look at the data on a lot of these investment funds, you know, they actually supply huge amounts of housing stock into the market as well as look to purchase. So, and on a net basis, even if we look at the CSO data, they've consistently added to the housing stock over the past decade. So, unfortunately, it has stuck. I think it's a term that we probably need to move away from, considering that it's been acknowledged widely now that we really do need institutional investment and private sector investment into housing.
Commercial property. I mentioned that you think it might have bottomed out because it had a pretty nasty 22 and 23.
Yes, had a very difficult last couple of years. I guess one key factor has been interest rates. You know, up to 12 months ago, we were at our highest benchmark European interest rates in 20 years. That doesn't help. So I think one sign of improvement is that we've seen a fairly proactive European Central Bank in the last 12 months. Actually, on foot of trade issues, maybe they could even be more proactive, you know, which again helps the sector.
Well, it's down to whatever, 2.25% now, possibly going to go to 1.5%.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Since Liberation Day, we've actually seen market implied measures for forecasts for European interest rates actually drop. So pre-Liberation Day, we were probably looking at a further 1 to 2 interest rate cuts. Now we're probably looking at 2 to 3.
Do you feel liberated?
It's difficult to feel liberated. And I guess it's, you know, the trade tensions have thrown a small bit of a spanner in the works. But I think longer term, we've seen signals. We see interest rates. We see actually benchmark performance has actually improved. Actually, when we look at what's kind of dragged performance in the last couple of years, a lot of it has been down to the office sector. But MSCI, for example, published Q1 returns last week where they showed that total returns were positive for the first time in 3 years.
So that suggests that maybe the worst might be over for
absolutely, absolutely.
And interest rates, of course, heading south is going to help as well.
Exactly.
Tom, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Joe.
That's Tom McCabe, the head of research with Cushman and Wakefield.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.